Good morning. It is Saturday, September the 28th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. So good to be with you now on the weekend, on this Saturday. Let's begin with consecration before the Lord. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, when we really pray that prayer, I think it delights the heart of Jesus. He's like, yes, yes, with every phrase, he's like, amen, thank you, please, come on. That's what he's saying back, is my sense of it. As we really are saying it to him and not just kind of going through the motion of it. Well, today's title, today's entry is entitled, Tell the Israelites to Turn Back. We need the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. I don't know if you've noticed, but every day the title begins with an actual phrase from the text of the scripture. I started that pretty early in the series, thinking as we go back and just read the titles, we'll have a sense of the actual narration of the text and kind of how it's speaking to us. So that, yeah, just notice that going forward. I've kind of like had lots of cute, clever titles over the years, and it just hits me like, those aren't going to hold up. They're not going to hold water. They're not going to last. Why not just actually use the Word of God to title the entry? So that's what we're doing. We're trying that here. Our text today is Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Haroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. I'm going to coin a saying as we begin today. You've already heard it in our title. We need the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. Try saying that with a bit of iambic pentameter. That's a word from poetry. Think of the rhythm of the heartbeat. Da 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 da. We need the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. We need the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. Why? Because the thoughts of God are confounding to the minds of people. Look at today's text. Tell the Israelites to turn back. What? God wanted Pharaoh to pursue his people. Why would God want this? So he could defeat Pharaoh and his army. God's strategy? Make it appear to Pharaoh that the Israelites were lost and confused. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. You know what that felt like for the Israelites? It felt like they were wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. They felt lost and confused. It felt like they were doomed. Meanwhile, Pharaoh could taste the victory. It was literally a worst-case scenario for the Israelites. Everything must have seemed so wrong to them at the time. Why would God put them through so much and bring them so far, only to let them perish like this? Short answer, he wouldn't. Maybe you've heard the saying, not all who wander are lost. Israel proved the point. You may be in the midst of the lowest moment of your life. You may feel lost and confused and in despair. It may even feel like it's all your fault. Renounce despair, forsake self-pity, and look to God. He has a plan. We need the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. Remember, the thoughts of God are confounding to the minds of people. How do we know this? First witness, Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. That's chapter 55, 8 and 9. Second witness, Paul. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 25. So back to our text of the day. Did you pick up on the confounding absurdity of the instructions? Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hiroth between Migdol and the sea. Translation: not only does it appear you are lost and doomed to certain destruction, I want you to make camp there. In the life of following Jesus in pursuit of the will of God, it can feel like a holy ground burning bush encounter last week and a holy hell house fire the next. Don't forget, God has a plan. God can work His best magic in our worst messes. The new creation often emerges from chaotic circumstances. It takes growing up in our faith to grasp this. It's why we must have the mind of Christ. We need the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. What is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is a cultivated faith that trusts God with all one's heart and leans not on our own understanding. Even in the most desperate situations, especially in the most desperate situations, to gain the mind of Christ, we must fix our eyes on Jesus. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, 1 Corinthians 1:18. It can feel like making camp in the middle of chaos. Isn't that what the cross actually is? The Son of God making camp in the worst chaos of the fallen creation. And look what happened. Light destroyed darkness, life desecrated death, new creation sprung forth from chaos like a garden. We need the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. That's just kind of a good heartbeat rhythm, isn't it? We need the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. We need the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. Amen. Let's pray our prayer for deliverance this morning. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I hear you decree a season of exodus over me, over my family, over my church, over my city. I confess my perception is limited by my experience. I want my perception to be enlarged by your word and spirit. I receive your deliverance from my flawed and limited ways of thinking about you and your ways. I receive the mind of Christ that I might think the thoughts of God. Indeed, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor human mind conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. Yes, Lord, I receive the mind of Christ that I might think the thoughts of God. Stretch my comprehension to the possibilities of your capacities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 How about our journal prompts for today? Have you experienced or witnessed one of these situations where the thoughts and ways of God were confounding to conventional wisdom? Are you in one of those situations now? And how are you growing in your reception and appropriation of the mind of Christ? Just asking for a friend there. We're going to sing a great hymn here in a minute, number 117. It's, My Jesus, I Love Thee. I'm turning my pages just like you are right now. We'll sing all four verses here in a second, but just a minute of encouragement here. You know, the only way to get back from plan B to plan A is the mind of Christ. It was the cross that brought us back, and it will be the cross that narrates us through. The cross is, as the text says, it's the foolishness of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. It's unconventional. It's unexpected. It's often just unprecedented. Well, it's certainly precedented through the pages of Scripture. I think about like David, okay? Israel is just getting torched by the Philistines. And I think back to when God first chose a king for Israel through the prophet Samuel. And, you know, they brought out all the brothers except one, David. David was like a young boy. He was at work in the fields and the sheep and was not even on the honorable mention list, not considered all these, you know, handsome, strong men, they, Jesse's sons, they parade by Samuel, and he's like, I know I heard right. I know I'm in the right place and with the right family, but this is not, God's choice is not here. And that's where the text famously says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. You see, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for people who carry the mind of Christ, people who can see the unseeable, because the Spirit of God is welling up in them. I want to push you to go read 1 Corinthians 2 today and just camp out there a little while, talking about the Spirit and the mind of Christ and understanding God and how to discern His ways. It's all right there. But then later on, you know, who is it that, this is way before he's king, David is king, he's Israel is in a pickle with the Philistines, and they're in this massive standoff, and this giant comes out for, I don't know, 40 days in a row and invites somebody to take him on, and it's a winner-take-all battle. And they send David as the errand boy out there, you know, carrying some fresh provisions for the troops. And he comes up to the front lines, and he hears this giant Goliath mocking the armies of Israel, and he's like, come on. He's like, I think I can take him. After trying to push him back and send him home, he won't let go. And they try to suit him up in the armor of Saul. Like, that's convention, right? Just fight like we fight. And David's like, no, this is not going to work. This is not my armor. He picks up a slingshot and five smooth stones, and he goes out and faces this giant. And Goliath is just mocking him and taunting him, and he says, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come at you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, and this day he will hand you over to me. And we know the rest of the story. Guys, that's the mind of Christ. It's outlandish. And we need our young people to begin picking up this storyline. We need our churches to begin thinking thoughts after God, which is to say, we need our churches to begin to rise up in the mind of Christ. Or actually, it's not rising up, it's actually descending down. I wish I had a minute more to go over Philippians 2, 5 through 11, where it says, have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, right? Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a slave, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance of a man. On top of all that, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's the mind of Christ. Have that same mind in you, it says. Therefore, God highly exalted him, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, say it with me, church, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. I said I didn't have time to say it. I could not say it. That's the mind of Christ. I go over that every day. I've rememberized it over time. I want you to do that too. This is how we get there. This is how we fight our battles. Super, super odd. Okay. Let's sing. You ready? Jesus is the master. He is the model. He is the miracle. And he's like, just let me in. My Jesus, I love thee, number 117. Let's do it. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Let's take it up a notch. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Amen. Well, we did it. This was a big Saturday, okay? I grant you. This was a massive download. It was a big stream, but we needed it, and it's now sown in our soul. And the Word of God, once sown, my friends, it's going to do what it's going to do. It's going to accomplish His purposes. All you need to do is just add a little water, maybe pull some weeds around it. Well, Saturday's a good day to sow, too. Different fields, different people we'll see today. Just be ready to encourage people. They're thirsting and hungering for Jesus. And a word of encouragement just begins to open the door to Him. So remember, His mind is in you. You have the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. That's the switch we want to make. Instead of I need the mind of Christ, I have the mind of Christ to think the thoughts of God. That's how I'm sending you out today. I'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.